Hey there, friends. Welcome to the inaugural episode of the WCLBMA podcast. It's a lot of letters in a row. That stands for the West Coast Lumber and Building Material Association. It's the voice of the industry in the great state of California. And here on our first full-length episode, we had a teaser. So if you haven't listened to the two-minute teaser, well, you're going to figure out what we're doing here. However, we got Mr. Steve Patterson, the president and CEO of Central Valley. They've got 8 locations. Steve, fair to say almost all of those are just north of San Francisco. Is that accurate?
That's fair to say, yeah. 8 locations, 4 counties, Sonoma, Napa, Yolo, and Solano.
Very good. And you are in the organization. Are you second or third generation?
I am generation number 3, 67 years. Not me personally, the business.
Exactly. So you took over in 2004 as president and CEO, which I will ask you about. And then also you were past president of the WCLBMA, which I'm going to reference this here in a second with, I believe, my second or third question here. Took over in 2009. If you ever wanted to take over the presidency of an association in our industry in 2009, I'm sure the lessons were certainly abundant during that time period.
That there were, yeah, that was a heck of a time in our industry's history, especially here in the state of California. So no doubt. Yeah, it was a bit of headwinds. You know, I had taken over the presidency just a few short years beforehand. As I've shared with people before, anecdotally, you know, that initially when I was president in 04, 05, everything I touched turned to gold. And then a few short laters, everything I touched, well, you know how it goes. I was the dumbest man on the planet and couldn't turn a buck to save my life. But fortunately, we did a lot of the right things and came out of that with flying colors. And I think some of the things we did as a business, I carried into that presidency in 09, just in terms of trying to be optimistic and leading with, enthusiasm in a time where it's very difficult to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. And overall headcount, ballpark, current employee
about
list right now?
220, somewhere in there, about 220, 225, yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. So let's start in here. I've been seeing the headlines. I'm based in Dallas. We have kind of clients all over. A couple of weeks ago, I was near your locations there. And a lot of the discussion was kind of around some of these headlines that came out from State Farm and came from Allstate that were talking about how they're not going to be selling new home insurance policies in California. And for me, that almost like put me back in my chair and started thinking about the ramifications. And I realized my head was just going to explode when you start thinking about the intended and potential unintended consequences of that. And you think of the role that insurance and risk plays just in every part of our lives. So I was just curious, how did you begin to start thinking about that? And what do you think it means for you and your business?
That's, you know, it's a great question. And, one thing is for sure here in the state of California is that there's always some great pronouncement like this, much to our chagrin as business people. But, this one's a little bit near and dear to me because first job out of college, and this goes back to the early 90s, I worked as a commercial marine underwriter for Hartford Fire Insurance. And for the marine insurance, that included builder's risk. So any dwelling under construction, and also transportation risk. So one thing, though, that I learned, now a lot's changed since the early 90s in the insurance world, but what's interesting is much like our industry, a lot of things repeat themselves. So there's a cadence. And what I can say and reassure the audience is that, insurers, carriers like Allstate, et cetera, they do pull out of states for different reasons. And this isn't the first time that something like this has happened. It might be, you know, workers' comp, it might be general liability, it's some type of insurance coverage. Now, this one, of course, is a little bit shocking because you're talking about something that's near and dear and personal to everybody's heart, which is related to our homeowners, right? And that hits. As I understand it, and I'm not a complete expert in this field, I haven't investigated it to the degree and depth that others have, but they're just not writing new policies. They're honoring existing, which is good. And the crux of the matter, as I hear it, is just the cost of construction. And I'm a little bit curious from my own perspective, and this is something that I would look into, is just what are they basing that cost of construction on? Is it over the past couple of years when things were so inflated? You know, and my guess is that there's going to be a discussion. This isn't going to be a long-term decision. There's probably going to have to be some discussions between the commissioner, the insurance commissioner, and these carriers. And I would expect to see a resolution. I cannot predict and won't predict as to when or what it will look like. Quite frankly, I'd have to look into it a little bit more. Short-term wise, yeah, that's a bit of a shock. You know, if you're buying a new home, you know, you can't close on a house unless you have the insurance placed. And so I'd have to look into what other substitutes are out there, how many are available. I know that there's a pool in the state of California. It's expensive. That's the pool into which some of our customers have had to go. So if you are in the country, if you have a custom home, for example, like a lot of folks, like a lot of ours, that's been a real risk. If you're up in the hillsides, away from a fire department, source of water, et cetera, you know, you have been kicked into the high risk pool over the past few years. So, you know, again, short-term implications that can cause a few problems. It's probably going to be more expensive. Will it stop construction completely? I don't think so. Will it pull some people out of the pool from buying a home? Quite possibly. Again, I'm optimistic that it will be resolved, though, in the not too distant future.
Yeah, and maybe that's a good transition here, Steve, because when I think about there are certain set of risks and challenges and obstacles that face our entire industry. And it's largely uniform, whether you're in Dallas like me, or you're in California like you, or New York, or any place in the country. However, certain other aspects, when I'm just like looking, just reading the headlines and talking to folks who live in California, and some of the challenges you guys have faced, obviously you got the fires, there's mudslides, there was floods, and then you turn around a month or two later in a different part of the country or part of the state, there's not enough water. So you're just like, my gosh, every time you turn around, there seems like if you are the person who thrives on negativity, well, I got news for you. There's plenty of things to focus on. I'm interested from a leadership standpoint, and I think also it's instructive thinking about your presidency of the WCLBMA during 2009, which, oh my gosh, right? We can talk about that. But in terms of like leadership, how do you rally your team and say, listen, you know what? There is always uncertainty. There are always roadblocks in the way. And yet we're going to find a way to work around them, to lead through them, to help our customers and all that. How do you give this sense of optimism given all the things that you guys are facing?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm writing a quick note here just to make sure that I grab the points, but I'm reminded a little bit. I guess this is the perspective that one has after being in the industry for a while. Is that, and this will sound a little bit, you know, trite, colloquial, et cetera. But you know, the point is that one thing we can be sure of is change. And so, you know, that change can be positive or negative depending upon one's perspective. You know, unfortunately, some of the things have been somewhat negative for the housing industry, at least as of the past, say, 12 months, give or take. And yet, you know, sometimes that can be very positive for someone else. Now, you know, for me, I guess it's just understanding that we shouldn't get too emotional or focused on the fact that change is occurring. Rather, it's how we respond to that change. So, you know, for me, it's a little bit easier because I'll confess that I'm a little bit more of a natural optimist. Just looking at the bright side of life, you know, the good old Monty Python line.
Of course.
Hopefully there's a few Python fans out there. You know, it is just part of how I would prefer to live, let alone lead. And so, you know, for me, though, in times like these, you know, people are counting on us to be out there. And so it's simple. I know some people do it naturally. But I think my encouragement would be to do it even more, which is just to be present.
Yeah.
Just to be out there in the business. You know, people want to hear you. They want the reassurance. Your visibility is comforting. Your words of wisdom are desired. They want to see you. They work for your business because they know the owner. They know the leader. They know the key people. That's why they come to us. And so if we're not there, obviously it creates a vacuum and that sets us up for, well, you know, the obvious, which is people get concerned. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't care, is something happening? Are we going to fail? So being present is probably one of the key pieces of advice that I would offer. the funny thing is you start out with the 2009 and let's see, at that point, my wife and I had a few kids and they were very young at the time. And, but what that means is I was watching a lot of Disney or Pixar. And so unfortunately, a lot of my references were Disney and Pixar. And one of them in particular that had come out, which was crazy, was Finding Nemo, right? You know, the little clownfish. And the Nemo's little partner there, Dory, is the, you know, indefatigable optimist in there. And had the line, keep on swimming.
Keep just on keep swimming. Swimming. Yes.
Exactly. And yes. I used that line way back then. Because it also is something that we need to remember, that it's incumbent upon us that even though we don't want to get up in the morning or we just rue the fact that I'm going to have to go face these employees or, you know, damn it, it's another month of, you know, looking at substandard performance. Mm-hmm. We just got to keep forging ahead. You know, people are counting upon us. And so, you know, it's important to continue that, to persevere and be persistent. So anyway,
You coupled that nicely. Start off a little Monty Python, which I do that too. We do a gratitude segment, which I think in sales too, with especially ambitious salespeople, as you know, I know you have them, you have many of them, is it's really easy for ambitious salespeople to look at the negativity and all the things, the deal that didn't happen. And when we land a deal, it's like, yeah, no, of course I should have, but the one I didn't get, let me tell you about that. And I will play that clip from Monty Python. And so many folks in our industry, well, the young folks haven't seen it. So I'm like, all right, here's a little education that's really important. Here's who Monty Python is and all that. So dovetailing Monty Python with Finding Nemo. I love it. That's right up my alley. And I often think about like Tom Peters and his MBWA, management by walking around. It's kind of a classic idea, but just that, to your point, being present, because in a vacuum, in a leadership vacuum, some voices, some people are going to fill that. And sometimes they might not be the ideal people to share their perspective on what's happening in the industry or just kind of the day to day. So I love that point. Well taken.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, and honestly, it's what I enjoy. That's part of what that's the role and the aspect of the CEO part. So what really motivates me is being in front of stakeholders. Mm. So customers, employees, you know, third party people that we deal with, that's gives me energy. And so that's why, I mean, for me, in terms of being an optimist, it just comes a little bit more naturally to me than it may for others. And that's why I encourage it, though, is that it plays to my strength, whereas for other people who, let's say, are a little bit more classically introverted, you know, they have to compel themselves to do it. And but I certainly encourage it, because that management by walking around, it's a classic and it works.
Yeah. So let me ask you about maybe Entekra, an LP, obviously a big investment several years ago, I believe in 2019, there was a $30 million investment and that was followed up by another... I'm not sure if I know the exact number, but I think it was another at least 10 million, if not more, that they made in Entekra. And then I've got a short little newsletter post coming out that I'm saying kind of the silence is deafening around this kind of quiet little, not a whole lot of information has come out from Louisiana Pacific just about the fact that by the end of June, they're kind of shutting down that operation, which tells me, I mean, in one part, obviously, probably wasn't profitable. I think that's probably reasonable to say. How do you perceive that, and being much closer to the action of some of the offsite construction, being closer to Entekra specifically, but in general, what does that tell you, if anything, about either the short term or medium term? And I would say maybe between 1 to 5 years, about the role that offsite construction is going to play in our industry.
Oof, boy, that's a great question, and one that, you know, I'll offer a little bit of conjecture on. I, you know, for me, offsite construction, the sales pitch oftentimes is that it's, you know, competitive. It's good for repetitive situations, for multifamily. You know, there, it certainly seems that someday it will have a role. For me, it may be a little bit premature. We've seen here in California multiple iterations of this business model, and I know I'm generalizing. However, I believe that it's going to operate in a tight niche for the foreseeable future. It seems to work well under the right conditions, under the right circumstances, again, with that multifamily sector, which is a huge portion of what we do here in California. However, there is a lot of housing that we do in California that isn't. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't seem to be a particularly good solution today as we see it. In terms of the opportunity for future investment like that over the next 1 to 5 years, boy, I'm sure somebody will fill that role, fill that niche. There will be another player here. I can't say who that is. Don't know who that is. For me, it's not someone, honestly, that we consider as a direct competitor. We have a lot more competition, really, with other building material distributors. And so we look at them more with interest. We're kind of curious about what they're doing, maybe seeing, hey, is there something we can learn that we can apply in our own business? But it's not necessarily something that we view as a direct threat today. But again, I don't want to sound naive. There was a white paper that I read, this goes back years and years, and it was a simple premise, and it was about a Chinese manufacturer taking over the housing industry. Heck, it might have been written by a professor out near your area, if I remember correctly. But anyway, and really the lesson that I took away from that was, don't be naive. You always need to be at least looking over your shoulder and being aware of what's out there.
Yeah.
So while this may be a failure today, I'm not poo-pooing the idea or the notion. I do think that there is a strong possibility that it catches fire at some point in the future. Today, it just seems a little bit premature. And obviously, with the softness in the market, if there was weakness in their business model, yes, it probably made sense for them to shutter and perhaps consider doing it again in the future.
Yeah. Now, I think your point about being open-minded about what is true today, we know for a fact we have some results. Somebody tried something. It did not work here. And yet, it's very possible that same maybe profit model or same business model in the future could work under different circumstances. I continually view this as some version of like the EV electric cars, in that I remember sitting in, I don't know, third grade and seeing a textbook that had a picture of a solar powered electric car. However, I'm dating myself here. That was probably 40 years ago, right? And then a long enough timeline, there's enough things. And now that might, who knows where that might be, but I'm going to put you on the spot though. Let me ask you, we fast forward 10 years. So we're talking in June of 2033. All right.
Fair enough. What percentage,
if you had to peg a number, single percentage, what percentage of, we'll just say total residential construction will be driven through offsite construction? If you had to put a number to it.
Total offsite construction, state of California, percentage.
Yep.
I could waffle and do a whole bunch of things.
I'm going to peg you to it.
On the spot.
I am.
I'm going to say 15%.
15%. All right, cool. That's all I'm looking for. I'm just making a little note. I'll follow up in a decade. We'll see where we're at. But yeah, I appreciate you
don't worry.
Playing along.
I'm particularly lousy in Vegas too, so I wouldn't put numbers on that.
Cool. Well, I want to ask you, you talked about just being open-minded, looking at different ideas, looking at different things. The last time you and I were together was October for the 2022 edition of the annual convention for the WCLBMA. By the way, we had Bill Walden as a speaker, who was just phenomenal. He came the night early, bunch of photos, just extremely personable. He gave a keynote, which was extremely insightful about some of the challenges. By the way, I don't know if you're familiar with this. I guess just last week, maybe 30 for 30 on ESPN came out with a 4-part series about his life. Are you familiar with that?
I did not see that, but that would be fascinating based on what we heard.
I know. I haven't watched it, but being able to kind of then do kind of a miniature podcast, which it wasn't really a podcast. It was basically one question and a 25-minute monologue that was phenomenal from him. So I'm excited to watch that. But, dude, just having a panel, you were there, Victor Fresca, just a whole bunch of people from different parts of the industry sharing ideas. Part of this goal of this podcast series is to let people know that 2023 edition's happening October 18th to the 20th. It's back in San Diego because people had a fantastic time. We're going to be at the Hard Rock Hotel. At least you and I will be there. But a lot of other really talented people are coming there. one of the challenges I know everyone who's listening or watching is facing is that Hartman, Steve, it's just so busy. It's so hard to kind of break away. And you got several hundred employees. You've got 8 locations. You've got 7 kids. You've got 1 grandchild. Who knows? Maybe by then you might have another one. Tough to say. Lots of things that are happening here. How do you think about these events where you break away from working in the business to get away to an event, to hear new ideas? How do you, you know, what's your philosophy on making that determination to go, even though you recognize surely there's more than enough stuff locally there to take care of your time during that period?
Yeah, boy, a little bit for me, being part of family, I grew up in the industry. I accompanied my parents to these very same events when I was a kid. I always found the people there very welcoming and very nice and willing to help, and saw how they interacted with my parents and really began to understand what I believe is the explanation of salt of the earth, right? Mm. And so I start out with that because these events always meant something to me personally. I think there's an emotional connection, an opportunity to, you know, see old friends, meet new ones, see folks who, you know, shoot, I knew they and their kids were in school and now they're in the business, and just continuing to see life evolve. And so from a personal perspective, being able to see people at a hotel and meet and drink and eat and do all those things and learn, is just, it's a great part of who we are. And I'm so glad we have this COVID thing behind us, because mm-hmm. while stuff like this is great and it augments what we do, it's really hard to beat in-person events. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, getting away from the business, you know, for me, Bradley, it's continuing education is a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And I view opportunities like that as a way to meet that goal, to meet that need. Again, some folks are a little bit reluctant. You know, they're trying to figure out a return on investment. You know, is it worth my time? And to me, this is about a cumulative body of experience. It's, you know, you don't go to college, take a class, and try to earn back your return on investment on a single class, right? It's a degree, for Pete's sake. Yeah. And so you have to look at the cumulative body of experience of that education, or in this case, the series of meetings that you attend over mm-hmm. the course of many years. At one particular, you know, association event, no, you may not feel that it was the best use of your time. However, you know, do you want to risk the opportunity that you missed the one where you are going to have that takeaway, yeah. where you are going to have that epiphany or experience that's really going to make a difference for you, for your business, for your family, you know, whatever the case may be. So I try not to get caught up in the, is it worth it if I spend, you know, if I send 3 people and it's $400, you know, this and the flights are that. And, I think you just have to take it with a grain of salt that this is something that's important. It's offering an educational opportunity. You get to learn about, you know, whether it's the legislative side, there's things that, my gosh, last year was fantastic. It was enjoyable. I was super glad that we did it. Maybe I'll pause there and see if you have a follow up there.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think there's always some risk, right? Wherever we go, no matter what we do, is it going to live up to our expectations? What are we going to get out of it? But I think for me, and the gift of being able to be part of this and help the organization, talking to people like you, as I'm trying to grow my team and be a better leader, you're just putting yourselves around smart people. We've got Craig Webb is coming, who I think a lot of people know, has been around the industry for a long time. He's also someone who talks to people all over the country all the time. So being able for him to like bring some ideas in, I'm just going to leave this hanging for a little bit now for people who are curious. But just when it comes to leadership and management and courage, the keynote speaker we have this year is someone who is both a decorated military veteran and a 4-time Super Bowl winner. So to be able to sit and listen to somebody, whether it's a Hall of Famer like Bill Walton or this individual, I'll leave this open little curiosity gap here. Just listening to these people and being inspired, because, you know, we've got a small team of five right now, in addition to my wife and I, but I'm like, I absolutely need to do a better job of leading and communicating. And if I can put myself around people like you and, you know, the Super Bowl champion and Craig Webb and all these other people who are going to be there in attendance, I'm pretty sure I'm going to increase my odds of doing that, you know? And that's kind of what gets me excited. And this distinction between working in the business, which we always are, and working on it, right? Getting some distance from it. And for some folks like you, you got to get on a plane to come down. It's a physical distance from it, but sometimes it's that perspective that can have you take a step back and say, okay, actually, we've been struggling with this. With a little bit of distance, I think it's probably the most obvious choices to do this, right? And it can give you that clarity with a little bit of distance away from kind of the day-to-day of it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You reminded me of things that I'll tell folks, or I'll advise them, is that, you know, that trap of working in the business and, you know, for all intents and purposes, making excuses, right? We've all got them. We're all busy people. You, me, the folks that are going to be listening to this podcast. And, you know, the reality is, in my mind, it's a bit of a trap where most times, 99 times out of 100, when I actually end up returning from one of those events, I'm saying to myself, I'm really glad that I went.
Right.
But there's always that little nagging kind of call the bad angel on your shoulder or something. Who's just saying, don't go. You got too much stuff. Oh, this is more important. Yeah. Oh, don't, you know, it's going to take time out of your day. And it's just kind of like, you know, you really got to fight that inertia. You have to fight that in order to make the effort and build yourself, build your company, improve yourself, improve your company, grow, et cetera. And so, you know, to me, we do have a big challenge, and that is the tyranny of the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. We all fight it, yet it is so important, oftentimes so relieving when we get out of that little rut and then go and improve ourselves at events like this. So,
yeah, it's well said. Well, I think maybe we'll wrap up here where you mentioned something earlier that you kind of used the word cadence, right?
Yep.
We know we are in a cyclical industry. What do they say? That history repeats itself, or maybe doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. Whatever you want to say is that a lot of human experience is pretty darn close, or there's some really consistent themes that has resulted in leaders pursuing a different path and sometimes a counterintuitive path to help them through this. And I think that's where why I'm excited to go here and see folks like you and other people who have been down this before, is that, hey, you know, working for an insurance company when you started, and the way that you thought about risk and the way you worked with the underwriters to price that risk, there's going to be some lessons in there that are absolutely appropriate, a couple decades separated, that people can apply now. And again, I think you get smart people together, you can trust that good things are going to come out of it, and you're going to have an insight or two that you can take back and implement with your team. So, appreciate you making time for this. I also appreciate you, from a leadership standpoint, allowing Matt Endress to serve as the president of the WCLBMA now, because as you know, and as I know, Matt knows right now, it takes a lot of work to get in there to really put on not only just a great annual convention, which we absolutely will do, but just the day-to-day. There's ongoing value the association's delivering to members, you know, darn near every single week. So I appreciate you being able to allow him to kind of get off to put that forth. And I'm really excited to see you back, if not before, in October, back in San Diego. And again, that's October 18th to the 20th. If you are interested, go to the WCLBMA's website, or hell, you can reach out directly to me. I'll make sure you get signed up. And I'm excited to be there. So Steve, thanks for making time for the podcast.
Yep. Thank you, Bradley. Appreciate it very much. And we'll see you soon.